2 Timothy, the book of Apostle Paul, 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. It's not possible to hold fast, Apostle Arkady writes, to what is good, not having an image or an example in your heart of sound words, which can be presented to us by a person who is clothed by the Holy Spirit into the authority of a Father of God. And to imitate a person whom God has placed over us, we need to look at how he imitates Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:16, 17. Therefore I urge you, imitate me, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. As we can see, the church needed to imitate Apostle Paul, and they imitated him as he imitated Christ. And when he had sent his faithful son, Apostle Timothy, then he said, imitate Timothy. Timothy will show you how to imitate me, Apostle Paul. And this imitation, this is the words of truth that Apostle Timothy would pass on word for word to the church. Imitating the apostles as they imitate Christ, that means to hold fast to what is good. And so let's look at seven components of what it means to hold fast to what is good. The true apostles hold fast to this good. Of course, false apostles do not. First, to hold fast to what is good is to trust upon God and keep his way, which is revealed to us by the preached word given to us by our instructors, whom God has placed over us. Psalm 37:34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Here we see these words as trust, hold fast to inherit. Our role is to trust and to hold fast to God. God's role is to give us the inheritance and take us within the time he desires. So we need to hold fast to the ways, so that we can inherit the land. This hope of our calling is only in saints. The wicked do not have this. As it says, the wicked will be cut off, and you will see this with your eyes. They don't have the hope of calling because their calling is to save the world. Our calling is to save ourselves and those that we are responsible for. The wicked do not have such a calling. They save those people whom they have no responsibility for, and that what they're responsible for, they have lost. And so we have the hope of our calling. The wicked have a very different calling that does not correspond to ours. And so we from our side need to hold fast and trust. And God said that he will allow us to inherit the land. He will allow our body to be clothed into the resurrection of Christ. And he will raise us in time. Second, what does it mean to hold fast to what is good? It means to take firm hold of instruction, not let it go, and keep it because it is our life. Proverbs 4:13. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. And so how can we take firm hold of this instruction? It's when we don't let it go. The scriptures say that we need not leave our church. Some people have this habit of coming to church as a hobby. God is not against hobbies, but attending the service, it should never be a hobby. This needs to be something that we do regularly. This is a part of our character, a part of our characteristic. And if we don't have this normality, then we will not be able to hold fast to and take firm hold of instruction. Third, to hold fast to what is good is to walk in the way of goodness, following the voice of a good shepherd, and keep to the paths of righteousness. Proverbs 2:20. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. The beloved once had said, "Tell me, whom my soul loves, where do you tend your flocks and where do you rest at noonday?" And he had said, "If you don't know this, the most beautiful of women, follow the path of the sheep and tend your flocks next to the shepherd's tents." To follow the path is to tend your own thoughts next to the shepherd's tents. An important revelation for all people, especially for the helpers of pastor, that they need to continue to follow the path of the sheep and continue to tend their thoughts next to the shepherd's tents. Fourth, to hold fast to what is good is to fight the good fight of faith, laying hold of eternal life in which we are called in Christ Jesus. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. And so there's some words, what it means to hold on to eternal life. This doesn't mean to tie yourself to, for example. This means to fight for. We need to fight for and fight the good fight of faith so that we can hold on to eternal life. Fifth, to hold fast to what is good is to flee from youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In this fifth component, we could see that we cannot hold fast to what is good if we will not be fleeing from something. We flee from youthful lusts. Here, when it says to flee, that means to separate, to sanctify yourself. The word to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, it's talking about our absolute dedication. We cannot have an absolute dedication to God without an absolute or total sanctification. This is when I separate myself and take myself from someone and something that does not belong to God. And total dedication is when I give myself to someone who is God and what is God's. Sixth, to hold fast to what is good is with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled, washing it from a blemished conscience, and washing your body with pure water, hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Hebrews 10:21-23. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. We see that we need to have a true heart. A true heart is a heart that is cleansed from dead works. A true heart is a heart that is cleansed from false strongholds of salvation. Further, a full assurance of faith. A full assurance of faith is when we place the elementary teaching of Christ into our heart, into a conscience that is cleansed from dead works. And the question is how to cleanse your conscience from dead works. How do we obtain such a true heart? With sprinkling, it says, from an evil conscience, so someone needs to sprinkle me. When in Israel, they talked about sprinkling, then they would ask, are you talking about the priest or the elder of the household? This is one who is delegated by God. And our life is the same. Someone in the beginning needs to, a representative, someone delegated from God needs to sprinkle us with the revelation. And we take this revelation and begin to confess it together with this person. In this way, we continue to sprinkle ourselves, collaborating our faith with the faith of God. And it's necessary to wash your body with pure water. You need to confess the hope of your calling. This is a very important component. Of course, this includes the necessity, of course, to wash your body, to take care of it before you come to the service. But why do you need to prepare your body, wash it with pure water, when you just cursed your body or cursed the body of other people? Why? Because you just literally poured mud over all of yourself doing so. You have poured yourself over with the mud of dirty words. And to wash your body with pure water, it's not just washing it with physical water. It's not allowing your tongue to pour out this mud upon yourself or other people ever. And the seventh, to hold fast to what is good, is to hold fast to the ways of the statutes that are indicated by God by being taught and instructed in faith. Psalm 119:32-34. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Here we see the laws, the commandments, the statutes that we need to keep and follow. We are going to sing a psalm, and we will thank God that we first have an example that we can imitate, that person whom God has sent into our life. This is Apostle Arkady. This is a person who does not just pass his word on to us, but also shows us, is an example for us of how we need to follow this word. Right now, we will partake in this great service of tithes and offerings. This is that service that Apostle Arkady shows as a demonstration of love. We need from our mind and heart, we need to remove first dead works, the opinion of when I want to give, where I want to give, how I want to give. And so we need to not deceive ourselves. God has his law, God has his commandments and his statutes, and those need to be received, kept, and fulfilled. Let us stand up and let's fulfill the commandments of Christ.
Свое время положи.
Allow me to again remind us that every time when the Israelite nation honored God in the tabernacle of Moses or the temple of Solomon, they were required, as a command from Moses, which he received from God, to stretch out their hands over their tithes and proclaim a great proclamation, which they were faithful to for thousands of years. We're the same Israel, connected to the same roots. We are nourished by the same olive tree. We will do the same thing. Please stretch out your hand over your tithes and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so that you may have food within your house. I do not give in sorrow. I do not give in uncleanness. I do not give for the dead. I deeply believe in your unchanging word, and I am glad that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to acknowledge your authority. Now, according to your words, I pray, may your heavenly windows be opened, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May you be blessed. Please be seated.